Hino Ma Dunai Elohino Alena Masaya Dena Kuname Alena Masaya Dena Kunanehu. Ela Hukat Vadai Veokina Hashem Dalad Havat Veha Itmar Aval Taf Hu Dalad Venun Mechubar Kachada Venun Ha Itmar Nun Amai Igre Haki Benun Ela Kadaa Velo Tonu Ish Et Amituoto Dehashtahi Bian Paha Nahirin Viavda Onaa Livne Nasha Levatar Machya Kehivya Vishatse Vikatil Viamra Lo Paalti Aven Vialda Haki Igre Benun De Itmar Ale Taf Kola Kachada Delet Nun Dalet Nun Nun Resh Resh Vedalet Chad Milahu Uvadvan Gelifin Inun Chok Vetach Vekola Chad Milah. He responds, Malchut is assuredly Chukat, and we explain that He is Dalet, and we were already taught the meaning of the Dalet. However, Taf is a combination of Dalet and Nun, and we were taught why Nun is called this way, meaning spelled with the letters Nun Vav Nun. He responds, it is only as it says, you shall not therefore defraud one another. Since Nun is from the linguistic derivative of fraud, the Hebrew word is Ona'ah, spelled Aleph Vav Nun Aleph He. Now, she seems to be a happy, delightful face. However, she defrauds human beings, since following this she hits like a snake, destroys, kills, and says, I have done nothing wrong. Hebrew is Aven Aleph Vav Nun, which is a verse from Mishle, which is Proverbs. Therefore, she is spelled Nun Vav Nun, derived from fraud, which is ascribed to her, the Nun. The Taf is similarly composed of Dalet and Nun. Dalet and Nun are also similar to Nun and Resh, since Resh and Dalet are close together, and they both mean poverty. And with engraved letters, Hukat is composed of the letters Chet, Kaf, which literally means law, but it also has the Taf at the end, and all is the same thing. It's a very esoteric verse, so don't try and understand it. On a general discussion, the reason that I read verses from the Zohar, because I'm bringing the energy of holiness into this room. You don't need to understand the Zohar. You connect to holiness just by reading it. And we'll be talking about it more detailed in a little bit. What this verse is talking about is a concept, the way the Torah reads in this week's portion called Hukat, named after Hukat. Hukat means a law, but in Hebrew there's three words for law. One is a law that human beings informing their societies would create on their own.
Should I write this down?
No, okay. It's just general background. It's all helpful.
Yeah.
So man coming together in a community will create a law against murder, against rape, against stealing. We understand that. And the Torah has these same laws. Then there are laws where we wouldn't normally come together and give them, but we understand why they're there. Laws of tithing, laws of sacrifice. We wouldn't normally say we have to sacrifice to God if we were just coming together in a physical community. But we can understand that we need to sacrifice. Then there are laws that we don't understand, that we're not capable as long as we're in the physical world. One of those laws is the law of the red heifer. The red heifer law states, sacrifice this animal that must be totally red, and then prepare it, burn it completely. Take the ashes, mix it with water, and then sprinkle that water on somebody, and that removes the tumah, the impurity of death. We don't understand. We can conceptualize. It would be nice to be able to remove the impurity of death, but we don't see that impurity.
Impurity as in, like, that person is alive.
The person you're sprinkling it on is alive, but on what that person has done has touched a dead body.
Oh.
What that person has done has built a business that failed. That person is connected to the energy of end.
Mm-hmm.
That's the energy of death. That's what this water mixed with the ashes cleansed that. So we speak many people who start a business and then it doesn't fail, and they really, you know, they have gumption and they get up and they start over again. And they start another business, and it fails. And then they do it a third time. In the days of the temple, they wouldn't start a second business without going to the temple and have this energy of end, death, removed from them. And their ability to have a second or third business will be much more improved because they've had this energy removed from them. But we don't think like that in our society today. We don't see it. We don't have the temple. We don't have the ability. We don't have the ashes of the red heifer. But what we're taught is by hearing that Torah reading, we get the same effect.
Oh, so that what you read,
And that's part of why, so this week we're studying this aspect.
Now, if I have something that's unsuccessful in my life, if I read it, it has to be read to me, or can I read it myself?
We're going to talk about it. Give me a minute. That's part of the tools that I'm going to be giving you today. Now, I want to paraphrase. Welcome to you on the conference call. We are just getting started with the third class of the basic class. And this class is titled The Hebrew Letters and the Zohar and the Anabakoach. If you need a copy of the Anabakoach, you can write down these directions, and then while you're listening to us, you can open up a website and get a printout of the Anabakoach. The directions are, go to the website www.yeshem.com. Yeshem is spelled Y-E-S-H-S-H-E-M .com. Yeshem has two sets of S, so it's a total of eight letters. I just say that because a lot of people misunderstand that. When you get to the website, at the middle and the top, there's a link that says Reveal the Wisdom. Click on that link. That will open up a page that you need to scroll down about an inch or an inch and a half, and you'll see a matrix that is a list of the classes. The left column of that matrix is the basic class. If you click on class number 3, it will open up another page, and on that page has recordings of all of the different class number 3s and all the different cities that I've done. But it also has handouts. And those handouts, if you print those out, you will handouts is what we will be talking about today. The basic discussion. Last week, we explained that we started as a vessel in the endless world. But because we felt dread of shame, we created a condition where it was necessary that we have a world that is an illusion, that we have a world where we can learn to share with other people, so that the one vessel who in the endless world has nobody to share with now has 7 billion people to share with. This is the process and the purpose of the physical world. Part of the physical world is that it's an illusionary world. So the Creator gave us glimpses of the true world. And those glimpses are concealed in what we call the Bible. But it's only concealed in the Bible in its original form. The minute you translate that original form, you are losing something in the translation. Now, what is the original form of the Bible? And that is the Hebrew. I can spend a lot of time developing how I can prove to you that it's the Hebrew language is the original form.
Well, I know about the Bible code.
Exactly.
Encoding it.
And there are levels and levels of coding built into the Hebrew letters, built into it. One of the aspects of the Hebrew letters in the way the Creator created them is it's a tool to transfer metaphysical energy, spiritual energy.
The language or
the letter itself. In addition to the letter, then as the letters build words, and the words build verses or sentences, as we communicate with language, all of these are different levels built on a previous level, which is another way of saying a code within a code within a code. The Hebrew letters were designed to transform the human soul, to allow the human soul to grow, to change, to become different. The way it becomes different is this transfer of spiritual energy. We have a spiritual law. There is a cause before the effect. If I have a physical effect, there must have been a spiritual cause. Now, I am not trying to have people become Jewish. I am not trying for people to take on a religion, because Kabbalah is not a religion. Kabbalah is a series of truths, a basis of truths, based on the Bible, the original Bible. These series of truths were given to human beings. Not to Jewish people, all human beings. When the Torah was given, it was given in all 70 languages. But each of those languages is somewhat lessened in its energy essence than when it's given in the Hebrew language. I don't speak the Hebrew language. There is a reason for that. I've chosen to not speak the Hebrew language. I do understand it when people speak it to me, if they do it slowly enough. But the point is, the Hebrew letters are tools to help us change. So what are the tools? How can we use these tools? For 2,500 years, the Jewish nation, through its religion, has read a portion of the Bible each and every week. It is read from a scroll. It is read from the original letters. The hearing of that language, even when it's not understood, creates a protection shield for the energy that comes into the cosmos the next week. So there's really a two-week period, a two-week cycle, if I can explain it. Saturday morning, the Torah is read. That gives whoever hears it a protection shield for the week's energy that they're going to face. The next Saturday is the manifestation of that energy and the giving of the new energy for the following week. That's why it's a two-week cycle. I am asking you, remember, do not ever believe a word I say, but I am suggesting strongly to you that you find a way to go to a synagogue, not to pray, although you may choose to, not to make socializing, although you may choose to. The reason I want you to go is to hear the Torah read from a scroll on Saturday morning. No, you do not have to be a member. In Boise, there are two synagogues. One is Chabad, and they will do outreach, but they are looking for Jewish people. And the other is a conservative shul, which is fine. They read the Torah. It's no problem. And even if you're not comfortable going to one or the other, or both, you're going for your own benefit to get that protection shield. I don't recommend one over the other. In fact, there's on the internet, there are groups. One place is called the Kabbalah Center. They charge $42 a month for being able to listen to the Torah over the internet Saturday morning. Others do it at different times. I'll leave it up to you. Over time, you'll experiment. I've been thinking about creating some MP3 files that would be the Torah reading and its commentary. It would be a rather unique approach. It's never been done, as with the thoughts that I've been having of what I want to accomplish. But it's very time-consuming, so I'm not sure that it'll... I haven't started it. I've just had the thoughts at this point. But the main tool, the most important tool, is to hear the Torah read Saturday morning and get that protection shield. We don't see cause and effect. We don't look around and see the negativity that is causing people to behave the way they behave. We all have talked about the new moons, the full moons. When the full moon is there, people go crazy and the emergency rooms get overwhelmed. The hospitals get overwhelmed. What is that happening? It's astrological influences. It's all astrological influences. Gravity is one astrological influence. But the protection against those influences is hearing the Torah. That is the first tool I am explaining to you. And it's related to the Hebrew letters. And I'm not explaining the letters to you today. The letters is a very deep... I'm doing a series of classes Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. If you want to come in and start learning about the letters themselves, you're welcome to join us in those classes. Same phone number. Everything is the same, except it's 10 a.m. Sunday. And that's 10 a.m. Pacific time, so it's 11 a.m. Boise time. I'm asking you to learn to use the Hebrew letters, but not speak the Hebrew letters. You don't have to know what you're saying when you look at these words. Because the words are designed to transfer metaphysical energy. And your eyes are the window to the soul. That metaphysical energy has to be transferred to the soul, and it's done through the mechanism of the eye. It's also done through the mechanism of the ear. This is the process. In the course of time, the Jewish world, the Hebrew community, spoke the language of Hebrew, but they did not speak it every day. Every day they changed that to a language called Aramaic. Aramaic uses the Hebrew letters, but has different meanings to the words.
Wow, is that Aramaic created? I guess.
No, the Hebrew was first and Aramaic is second, but ultimately, there is a reason for Aramaic. After the destruction of the Second Temple, there was a concern that the oral tradition, the oral law, there's a written law, which is the Torah scroll itself, and there's an oral law that explains it. As an example, it says, do not mix the, do not cook a calf in its mother's milk. From that statement, we get a whole series of laws dealing with kashrut, with what's kosher, what's not kosher. Where does the series of laws come from? It comes from the oral tradition, the oral law. There was concern that the oral law was being lost or would be lost because of the dispersion of the nation into the various, all over the world, all the different countries. So they wrote it down. They wrote it down in the book called the Talmud. The Talmud took 700 years to write. They wrote it down in a book called the Zohar. The Talmud teaches how to do the oral law. How do I build a tzitzit? How do I follow these laws? The essence, the internal meaning behind the laws, its purpose, was written down in the Zohar, but not in a clear ABC manner, in an esoteric manner, in a parable manner, telling stories.
They're
still big on metaphors. The Zohar is the book that is the second tool that I am offering you. Now, what am I offering you and where? The Zohar is available for $500 for a set of 23 books that are Aramaic and English translation. You don't need the English translation. It's not meaningful to the energy transfer. But it's nice to know what I'm reading. You feel foolish when you start to read and you don't understand it. When I started to study Kabbalah, the English translation wasn't available for the first 10 years I studied Kabbalah. I used to scan a totally Aramaic version with no understanding of what I was reading. My friends would look at me and see me do this and, how can you do this? You look like a fool. You don't know what you're doing. It just doesn't make any sense. And my answer to them was, you're right, it doesn't make any sense logically. But it makes sense to me. And every night, every day, I would scan a verse, two verses, in the Aramaic language. Had no idea. Couldn't sound it out. Couldn't read it. Today I can, but I couldn't then. I'm asking you to do the same thing. Not because I say so, but because this will cause you to change yourself. That change doesn't happen overnight. It happens slowly. But if you do the three things, four things I'm asking you to do today, and going to the synagogue, I don't expect people to do right away. Some people start it after the fourth or fifth or sixth week. Some people wait until they finish the 20 weeks before they start it. Some people don't start it for 3 years. It's all part of your path, what you choosing. I am giving you tools. It's up to you to use the tools. All of the tools have one purpose, and that's to create a world, your world, with less chaos. The going to the synagogue gives you a protection shield that keeps you from creating chaos in your life from that energy that comes into the cosmos. If you don't know it's there, it's just going to impact you, and you're going to do what you're going to do. But if you have that protection shield, you don't do quite as many negative things.
Now, what the robot, I can't afford to buy it.
Peace. I understand that. There's also a $20 book that is totally Aramaic. It's a little handbook. I have one if you want me to. I didn't bring it. I'm sorry, but I forgot it. But if you want to get that book, that's available. Then there is the following. There is a website called www.dailyzohar.com. Every day in your mailbox, you'll get a paragraph or two of Aramaic letters. And then you will have the ability to scan them, read them, hear the sound of them. That's all built into that email. And you'll also be able to get to an English summary of what the paragraph says. It's not a translation. And sometimes it's corrupted. It moves in a direction that I don't agree with. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just I see it differently. But I still stress, please, go to this website and sign up for it. There is another website associated with this called Unity Zohar. And this is a Zohar, a site where you decide during the day, I want to scan the Zohar. So you go to the site and you get a paragraph or two to scan. And then you get another one or two paragraphs if you want. It's all up to you how much energy you wish to connect to, how much positive energy. Because within the Zohar, there is no negativity. There's only holiness. And that is, it's coming straight from the source. This is the second tool that I'm offering you, this daily Zohar. I strongly recommend that you sign up for it and you do it daily.
Well, if at the end,
so if it's four times a week, if it's once a week, start with what you can start with.
Okay.
If you want to know the English translation, these books that I'm using for $500 is available online for free. You can go and just scan them and see what the English says. On the Yeshem website, on the right side, there are links to all of these things I'm telling you. Do the investigation in the Yeshem website.
I looked at it. I got a little confused.
Well, if I can unconfuse you, you know, after this class, I'll be happy to start, make the effort. You know, and if it's confusing, maybe there's things I need to change to make it less confusing. But ultimately, all of the things I'm teaching you is available through there. But the main tool is the Hebrew letters and the Zohar every day.
I'm still a little unclear as to why this is Aramaic and not.
Because Hebrew is a language that also transfers negative energy.
Okay. Okay.
Aramaic does not transfer negative energy. The Midrash says that the angels do not understand Aramaic, and that's why the people spoke Aramaic. But that's a metaphor again, because what does it mean the angels don't understand Aramaic? I think the Satan doesn't know English, doesn't know French, doesn't know, you know, all the languages of the world. But it's saying, really, that the negative energy is not transferred through the words of Aramaic. Now, that's the second tool. The third tool, which is inclusive of a fourth tool, so we're all going to call it one tool, and it's called the Ana B'Koach. A-N-A-B-E-C-O-A-C-H. Now, I'm going to give you some sheets that are on the website. This is to be, well, it's not to be read. The Ana B'Koach is...
The
Ana B'Koach is 42 words. It's... Those 42 words do not mean anything. Each word is a vessel to hold the energy of the first letter of that word. These blue letters out here are the first letter of each. Now the Zohar and all Hebrew, all Aramaic is read right to left, top to bottom. This letter. This letter. Yeah, understand. This is the names of the Sephirot.
So all Hebrew words are that way.
Yes. Yes. Now, I'm going to eventually sing this to you. Singing is closer to the Creator than speaking. It's better to sing it. If you go to YouTube and type in Ana B'Koach, you'll get 500 videos of people who put on different sounds, different notes, different chants. I don't care what chant speaks to your soul. Find one. It'll help you memorize it. I will sing one. Many people in my classes find it comfortable for them because I do it every week. It's a chant that speaks to my soul. As students, people are connected to my soul, so they will frequently enjoy that. But if you enjoy another chant, use it. I don't care.
It's just like A, B, C, like the first three letters.
Yeah.
It reminded me of...
That's exactly what it is.
Like alpha, beta.
Yes. That's exactly correct. This 42 letters is the is a name of God that was used for creation. It is the energy of creation. Now, what does creation actually mean? In the tree of life, you have the right side, which is sharing, or male. You have the left side, which is receiving, or female. And you have a central, centered pillar, which is balance. Creation is so striving for balance. In our life, in the end soul, we have this bread of shame. What is the purpose of creation? To strive to balance bread of shame. Trying to remove it is a form of balance. Creation is balance. You are trying to fall asleep, but you have too much energy. You're really excited and jazzed. You can't fall asleep. Say the Ana B'Koach, and it will bring you to fall asleep, because that's what you need to do. You're falling asleep and you need to be up and energized. say the Anavakot, and it will give you energy, because that's the balance that you need at that moment. Creation knows what you need better than you know what you need. When you are out of sorts, when you don't know what to do, search for balance by saying this prayer. I call it a prayer, but if you look at the translation, it's not a prayer. It has nothing to do with it. You'll see, this one is on one page. This one is on many pages. And you'll see in this that I have an English translate. I have it transliterated, like it is here, but I also have an English translation of each word. And when you read it, you'll see it doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't make any sense on a physical level, on a human level. But it does on a spiritual level, on an intuitive level. The Anabakoach is a tool that is an amazing tool. And I will give you a story, I'll tell you a story that is a true story, up to a point, and then I'll give you my interpretation of it. My teacher gets messages from his higher selves. He was coming back from Israel, stopped in France, because he has a center there. He is the head of the Kabbalah Learning Center. And they said to him, go, this was in 1994 or 5, go to Libya. Actually, they said, go to Tunisia. How come? They didn't give him an answer. They just said, go, and he knows and has learned enough to follow these directions. So he asked how to get to Tunisia. One of his students living in France, his family had been doing business, and he used to be, prior to the 50s, before the North Africa revolted from France and threw the Europeans out, his family had been there for 200 years. And he still did business there. So he...
Algeria,
that area. This is his background. So he said, I'll arrange it. So the next day, they're flying to Tunisia. And that's when Rabbi Berg realized why he was going to Tunisia. He was going to Tunisia because the Palestine Liberation Organization, Government in Exile, had their government in Tunisia, in the capital. So he didn't know it until he landed. Now here's a man wearing a kippah. He's clearly an Orthodox Jew. He's going to an Arab country. It's not a very welcoming environment.
No.
You would think there would be a whole hassle over visas and this or that. Nothing. He landed, walked through customs, gets to the hotel. No hassles at all. This is the way the spiritual system works when you are doing their work.
Yeah, it's like a conflict is on a much lower level.
Exactly.
It's above that.
Yes. So he goes, and the student gets to the hotel with him, and he says, what are we doing here, Rob? He says, I don't know, let's go to sleep. So they had dinner, they went to sleep. The next morning, they get in a cab, and Rob tells the cab driver, I want to go to the building where the PLO is. Where's their government? And the cab arrives at the building. No appointment, no forewarning. But he doesn't want to go in. And guess what? You know, a government in exile has security forces. They're really army, but they're called security forces. They see this Orthodox Jew get out of the cab and start to walk around the building. So what do you think they did? They put two people ahead of him and two people behind him, and the same he walked, they walked. What did he do? He walked around this building seven times, all the time saying the Anabakoa.
Really?
That's all he did. He finished the seven routes, seven circles, got back into the cab, went back to Paris, went back, and continued his journey home. That's a true story. No, there are many people that will confirm it. They heard it from him. We can document with plane tickets all of the justification if we ever need it. Now, this is what I'm going to say to you is my interpretation from this point forward. Three or four months later, now I heard this story on the Shabbat after he came to the States. So it was that week, essentially. 3 or 4 months later, there was an announcement about the Oslo Peace Accords. It's my opinion, and when the government in exile, their papers are made public, the date that he made those circles is the date that their government was voting on whether they should sit down with the Israelis and participate. That's my opinion. Now, let me explain why I feel this way. In the Bible, you've heard the term that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. There was a plague, a lot of damage, a lot of chaos in Egypt. And then instead of Pharaoh saying, get out of here, people, God hardened his heart, is what the Bible says. Why would a peaceful God, a universal, sharing, merciful God, cause people to go through pain? What does it mean to harden his heart? And what the Kabbalists explain is that the word harden means when you're in pain, you have no free will. When you've experienced horrible events in your life, you're reacting to those events. That's not free will. You're doing a reaction. When Hashem hardened Pharaoh's heart, he brought him to the level where he could do what he, on a free will basis, he wanted to do. He could have let them go. But if he was reacting to the pain, he would have let them go, but that's not free will. By bringing him back to the level of free will, Pharaoh did what he wanted to do, which in most cases was stop, keep his slaves. The saying of the Anabakoa brings people to balance. The people in the government of the PLO have lived for 40 years in hate, and even before that, they grew up on hate. They're still teaching hate in their schools. There's no free will in somebody who's been taught hate.
Yeah.
But by saying the Anabakoa in that building, he brought the energy of balance to those people so they could choose what they really wanted on a level of free will. And they voted to participate in the Oslo Accords. Now, it didn't work, but it was the first time that the opportunity occurred. That's what took place. That's what the energy of this is all about. Now, the Anabakoa is a astrological influence. It is a healing influence. It is a spherot influence. And all of those things relate. And we make changes in when we say it and how we say it based on the month, the day of the week, all of these aspects. So it appears initially to be complicated. but over time it becomes easy. And I will, as you listen to me do it every week, it'll grow on you. As you do it every day, if you make a mistake in the pronunciation, don't worry about it. Don't be concerned about it. Over time, you will learn to say it properly.
This is your copy, right?
No, this is yours.
Oh, thanks.
Everything here is yours.
Yeah, you read it from right to left, but word by word.
Word by, actually two words at a time. But let me give you, you'll follow it. I just want to explain to you. Today is Tuesday. Tuesday started sundown Monday night. So if you were to be saying this last night, you would be saying the day of the week is Tuesday, the third steps. Tonight, it's the fourth day. That's meaningful as to when you say it, as to which verse is the operating verse for that day. The month of the year, when it changes, the verse that's meaningful for the month changes. So you'll come to understand it. Right now, it's the sixth verse, the month of Sivan. Yes. The one that starts Yashid. Okay, now I'm going to say it. This is a healing thing. No, this is yours.
Okay.
All of this is yours. I'm going to say it. I'm going to stop. After each verse, there's a meditative tool. You can say the Anabatoach in 3 minutes, or you can take 5 hours. If you meditate after each verse, it's a meditative tool. Very effective. It's up to you how slow or how fast you say it. But please, say it at least once a day. If at the end of 3 months, you look back and say, I haven't changed, then you can stop. I guarantee you, that won't happen. You will have a less chaotic life in 3 months than you will have today. As many times in the day or night as you wish. It's up to you. At least once in the morning. It would be great if you also said it once at night before you went to sleep. But everybody's different. The main thing is to say it. And actually to sing it. But my voice is not a good voice. But you'll get a sense of it. Anabekoach gedulat shemincha tatir tzerura. Now I go to the end, the blue letters on the left. Aleph bet gimel yud tav tzadik. I know the letters. I say them by name. You need to just scan them right to left. That actually becomes the seventh word. These six letters have a gematria of 506, which connects us to the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love, and also to the name of God, Vav Shin Resh, which deals with memories, but not just memories of physical memories, the patterns in our life where we done the same mistake over and over again. That's what's connected to that first verse. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu nora kufrei shayim sintet nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words. Kra, Satan. Kra means to tear up. Satan is the name of the negative force that gives us free will. The same six letters can be rearranged, permutated, to spell Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates. And it's a reminder to us to guard our gates, eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, which are the gates, the entry points for the negative system. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Nun gimel dalet has a gematria of 57, which connects us to the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah or sustenance. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that helps us to take back the energy from the that we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. This is the third verse. Today is Tuesday, the third day of the week. So I stop and I scan the angels of the day, which is in this form, the angels of the day for Tuesday, the third day, right to left, top to bottom. As fast as that, you can just scan, you look at it, you've scanned it, you know, your eyes are that quick. We also do, well, the angels of the day, just by doing that once, for you, that protective angels, they come with you, they follow you throughout your day. So every time you say it in the morning, you would scan it. You can do that if you do it at night as well, but it isn't necessary more than once a day.
Are these additional? Because I know we have spirit guides.
Yeah, these are additional spirit guides. You are drawing spirit guides that are much more powerful than the others. That's the inner. You're drawing spirit guides connected to creation, not just connected to your creation.
It's really strange. I just kind of off the subject, but strange things have happened, and I've been kind of funny.
Let me finish, okay. And we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Rakame Sidkatha Tami Damlem Metetresh Saditav Gimel. This sequence connects to the Sphira of Netzach and its attribute of eternal victory. Victory that doesn't end. It's continuous. Chasin Kadosh Virov Tupha Na'el Adatach Hetkuf Bet Tet Nunayin. This sequence connects us to the Sephira of Hod, its attribute of appreciation and thankfulness. Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Penei Zokrei Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed, Hei Zayin Kuf. This is the sixth verse. This verse, once a day, I connect to this chart, which is called Tikkun HaNefesh. Tikkun is correction or healing. Nefesh is soul. You follow the pattern, and I've numbered the boxes as to how you look at them. Literally, you're looking at box one, this sequence of letters.
From right to left.
From right to left. Box two, this sequence of letters. Box three. And you can see you have the skull, the right brain, the left brain. The right eye, the left eye. The right ear, the left ear. The right nostril, the left nostril. And the mouth. The right arm, the left arm, the chest. Now the chest runs from the neck to the diaphragm. Then you have the right leg, which runs from the diaphragm to the knee. The left leg, again from the diaphragm to the knee. This is the sex organ, and it's also the spine. So you visualize the light running from your sex organ underneath you and up your spine, and then back down your spine and back around to your sex organ. And then the last box is your feet, from your knee down, your lower leg and your feet. This chart is bringing the light of healing before you need it.
And that's when we get to the gift mode?
During this month, we do it in Yesod. Next month, we'll be doing it in Malchut. But we'll talk about that on Saturday night. Okay? Now the last verse, not the last verse, but the seventh verse. Shabbatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tadiyutah. Shin and Kuf have a gematria of 400. 400 brings us to completion and perfection. The last four letters have a gematria of 506, like the first verse, and it connects us to the name of God, Vav Shin Resh, dealing with memories and patterns, and Ahavatinam, unconditional love. We learn from this that the path to perfection, the path to completion, is by injecting unconditional love in every step of our process, as well as recognizing the patterns where we've made the same mistake over and over, and changing our pattern, changing our action, so we no longer make that same mistake. This is the path to completion, the path to correction. Now there is an eighth verse, which please always say. One, we say it in a whisper like this. You can't hear me say it, only I can hear it. I'm going to say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. That verse takes any excess energy that you cannot handle grounds it, just like an electrical ground. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Va'ed. The reason I say that if you say it wrong, if you mispronounce a word, we're dealing with the energy of creation. It is extremely powerful. Ground your energy. Ground anything that was done incorrectly. Ground anything that's too much for you to handle right now.
Okay. Now these are all supposed to be said out loud, or can they just be scanned and this one comes out?
They can be scanned. Yes. It is best to say them out loud.
Okay.
But if you're not comfortable saying them yet, scan it. Understand, starting this process is going to start you changing.
My head is swimming right now. I can tell the energy is changing in the room.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was kind of lightheaded when I came in, but it's like really, really, like very quickly getting up there, yeah.
And what? It's lightheaded, but it's really more balancing.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the vibration going on.
Which is what you said earlier in the class. We need to elevate our vibration. That's what this is. What is happening? It is an amazingly powerful tool.
I need to put this in some kind of protective thing, like a
yes.
picture frame or well, glass or something.
You need to treat it with respect.
Yeah.
It is a holy name,
yeah.
Whatever that means. Which is, we don't have time. We're already over time today. But just to go through it.
I mean, I'm just like, yeah.
It seems overwhelming when people first start it because. Tomorrow you'll say on the fourth verse, and you know I'm in the wrong verse. What happens if I missed it? I forgot to do the verse. I forgot to do this. The Tikkun HaNefesh. I forgot. forgot to it doesn't matter. Do the best you can.
Just having it here, though, makes a difference. Like,
correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
It's kind of like having a big crystal in front of you. It's amplifying everything.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
But no, what I was saying was, and this is a little off the subject, the true things have been happening lately.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I've been getting, for years I've been getting down here. I don't know what, because I try to stay off myself. But lately, the other night, I was sad, and it was about 4 o'clock in the morning. It, you know, it usually happens about 3 or 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Something exploded in my refrigerator at exactly 3 o'clock in the morning. At 3 o'clock, we have that's the air time of the night that I'm most creeped out, you know, because that's the break-in occur, the negative effect. And something exploded in my refrigerator at exactly 3 o'clock in the morning. And two nights later, I kept hearing this little chirping, like a woman's voice, and I thought it was me, like, starting to snore or something, kind of like halfway in and out of the office. But it wasn't me. It was a woman's voice, like this little chirpy. And finally, she just goes, hello, just as clear as a bell, and I just sat up in bed. I had, oh, I couldn't believe it, really. I wasn't dreaming.
Were you able to sense it in the entity around you?
No, and usually I can. When this happens, it's not very often. But this, I assumed it was of a spirit guide. But,
that's exactly what it was, the spirit guide, the misreading that you said that the 3 o'clock is the witching hour. It's
mm-hmm.
not. That's the positive hour.
The most
crime occurs
uh-huh.
between sundown and 9 p.m.
Is it really? Because they always say most frequent is right around 3, because that's the most.
That's a total misconception. Because they don't understand the energy.
Uh-huh.
The whole, what this is talking about in the Anabakoa, why does the sun rise? Everybody will tell you because the earth is going around the sun, and
uh-huh.
that's the mechanics of the geometry. That's not why the sun rises.
Mm-hmm.
Kabbalah explains what's the cause and what's the effect. There is an energy called mercy, chesed. And it comes into the cosmos at midnight. From midnight, it's growing stronger, and the energy of judgments, which is what the nighttime represents, is growing weaker. And the sun rises as an indication to us that mercy has subdued judgment. The sun sets because judgment has subdued mercy. This is the cycle. Why there is a cycle, it takes me too long to explain, but there's a reason for that as well. Cause and effect. You're going to learn in Kabbalah to look for what is true cause and what is true effect.
I need to change my mindset about that, because I get so spooked all the time.
If you have a dream after 3 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
it has really very little meaning relative to the rest of the... You have a dream between midnight and 3 a.m., that dream is very meaningful and you need to interpret it.
Isn't that kind of like the healing time, too, between like 10 and 2, the body is healing itself also?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's
but...
The thing about 3 o'clock, though, right around that area, I've heard also from different psychic types or intuitive
mm-hmm.
types, that's when your spirit guides are most active,
that's
trying
it.
To communicate.
They're in the Garden of Eden studying Torah. That's what they're communicating to you is Torah. They're telling you what's going to happen the next day, the next week, whatever time period you're involved with. They're trying to communicate with you because they're studying.
That must be when we're most receptive.
And it's also when we're most receptive as well.
So I need
it's
to
the quiet
that
time.
Start that negative.
Yeah. The best time to scan the Zohar
yeah.
is after midnight.
Wow.
The Kabbalists live from midnight to sunrise. They study Kabbalah and pray. Then they go to sleep until about 11 or 12. And then they do their business in 3 or 4 or 6 hours. And they sleep from like 7 to 9 to 10. And then they get up again at midnight. But their patterns, you know, are not necessarily the way we can live in our society.
Yeah.
But we learn. We learn from them. There's a lot there.
Because it's so much been going on in the middle of the night, it's like I'm being told you need to change your pattern here.
Well,
the thing about the tone too. And
you are now the eighth or ninth student that's been talking to me about these tones, and I don't yet have a complete answer. But it's one of my students calls it unfoldment.
Uh-huh.
It's moving.
You
kind
of told me we're being attuned. Something like tuning in, you know, it's like a radio dial.
Yeah,
you know?
That is all correct.
Like I hear tone either ear very briefly during the day, periodically,
mm-hmm.
all the time. But these two nights, one night it was like a real long, very deliberate, and then two nights later it was like deep, deep, deep. It was so deliberate.
The reason that I sing the Anamakoa. I wasn't taught to sing it. This is something that I knew was right for me to do and for my students to do. Singing gets us closer to the Creator. This tuning that you're describing, that is the reason for it. But there's a deeper
yeah.
idea. And it's not that they're tuning. You're doing the tuning.
Yeah.
And you're recognizing...
The
higher self is you.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, consciously, I'm not aware of it.
Well, one of the purposes of Kabbalah, one of the purposes of saying the Anamakoa, is to expand our consciousness.
Yeah.
To make more of our unconscious available to the conscious mind.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we're doing. So, please, these are the three tools
yeah.
for today.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions? On the conference call?
Are they still there?
If you press *6, you should be able to be heard. Are there any questions?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. This is Lynn Lofton. And
how are you doing, Lynn?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome to the group.
Oh, thank you. When you were describing the how different things correspond to the different parts of the body,
yes.
I missed that. Was that the left side of the printout of the Anabakoa?
No. It's another printout called the Tikkun HaNefesh.
Okay. Thank you. That's on your website?
It's on the website.
Okay.
The problem with it is it doesn't have a number chart. When I meet physically with people, I put numbers on the chart so that you know which box to do when in order. So if you can communicate with Bob about it, he has that chart with the original numbers. Or if not, we can do it on Google, where I can walk you through the chart so you know the pattern to follow. But that is highly recommended that you do that at least once a day.
Okay, I can get that.
Within the frame of Anabakoa.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you have any other questions? Do you have any questions?
I wanted to ask you about sites that were never on my site.
Hello?
Yes. Hello?
This is Bernice. Do you hear me?
I do, Bernice. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to ask you about Aramaic does not transfer negative energy. I think it's the Hebrew Zohar, but I was not aware of that particular thing where it transfers negative energy.
as I said earlier, the Midrash, or the adage, is that the angels do not understand Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the people of the times of the temple were speaking Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to say, you know, there's always levels within levels, and there's always deeper understandings.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard that, it didn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't the angels understand it?
Mm-hmm.
Another way of expressing that is it's a more direct connection to the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's true, why don't we pray in Aramaic? And we don't. We pray in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the course of my path, I asked these questions, and the answers that I got was to, as I expressed and teach, the Aramaic language does not transfer negative energy. I can go into details into that, the structure of the Aramaic language. Many times in the Aramaic words, the letter Aleph is the last letter, and the letter Aleph is a unification letter. Its essence is to unify, which would mean if it was negativity, you know, and what is the negativity? What is, you know, in the Torah, we talk about killing people. I mean, Moses is told, or Joshua is told, to kill all of the Moabites,
mm-hmm.
and so forth and so on. And we know that God is a merciful being.
Mm-hmm.
There is no negativity in God.
Mm-hmm.
So where, you know, how do we understand that? And the way I've resolved this for myself is to understand Aramaic, which is what that blue Zohar that you're familiar with,
mm-hmm.
and the brown one with the English translation, that language is pure holiness. There's no negativity in that language. While in the Hebrew, in the Torah scroll, there is the potential for negativity. It will transfer it if your consciousness is thinking about doing a negative action. If you were speaking Hebrew at the moment that you were thinking of robbing a bank,
mm-hmm.
that negativity is going to be transferred by the letters of your mouth, the words that you're saying. Now, we don't control our consciousness that well that we are aware of when we are positive and when we are negative. And we always have to remember, Kabbalah defines positivity as a desire to receive in order to share. And it defines negativity as the desire to receive for oneself alone. So you can be thinking about giving tzedakah, but the reason you're giving the tzedakah is because you want God to give you something, a selfish desire. That tzedakah becomes a negative action.
Mm.
People don't understand this.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of the changes that take place in people through learning Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
I'm just wondering, would there's no way to trade the one for the other, the Hebrew Zohar for the Aramaic?
No, the Kabbalah Center doesn't trade those things. You have to buy them separately.
So you'd have to get an own Aramaic step?
Yes, or as I've been suggesting to you strongly, get on the computer. You can get it for free.
Mm-hmm. Download all those papers? Goodness.
Amidst all those papers. You know,
mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it. I don't want to take the time of the other people now.
All right.
But that, if you really want it, learn the computer.
All right. All right. Thank you, Mike.
Any other questions?
No, it's been a good lecture, as usual. Very informative.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
It's
So we'll see you. We'll be doing this again next Tuesday at the same time.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.